apprehensive about reprisals for protesting in today's political climate. We must resist in many different ways to drag this truth out into the light of day. October 22, 2004, the 9th annual National Day of Protest to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation. The day for thousands across the country to speak out and act.
I wanted to say something about the fact that they're killing us in the streets and we don't say anything about it. And we need to speak out. We need to speak out for the families who can't come forward and say things for themselves because they're scared, because they're intimidated by cops.
I think most of you probably know we're in the killing capital of the Western world, certainly here in Houston, Texas. And right now, we have so many executions going on, it just blows your mind. We've got 10 more scheduled this year. We have 5 in October altogether, 6 in November, and we have 1 in December. There could be more beyond that schedule. I just want to mention one case that, in fact, is the next one that's coming up, and that is the case of Dominique Green. And there's been some news on that case, but everything hasn't come out. And I think what hasn't come out in his case is the amount of racism in it. First of all, in this particular crime, there were 4 boys involved. 3 of them were African-American, 1 was white. Dominique Green, who's African-American, got the death penalty. The 2 other African-American boys got prison sentences. But the white boy that participated in this crime, and actually did participate, didn't spend the day in jail. He was not even charged with anything. And nobody understands yet what's going on there. I mean, I think we've got an inkling of what's going on.
We're out here on October 22nd, the 9th annual day of protest against police brutality. Can you talk about why you've come out today?
I came out because Roy Rodriguez was killed last weekend by an HISD cop. Responded at 2 a.m. to a kid breaking into a vending machine, and he shot him and killed him. I'm a teacher. Roy Rodriguez went to my school when he was in middle school. He dropped out of high school last year, and he died last week at the hands of a cop. And I'm out here because of that.
Came out here because I support what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? I hope to see the cops somehow become more relaxed, you know what I'm saying, more at ease. There's so much cops that have tension and anger that's built up inside it, they don't know how to release it. So what they do is they just find any random victim to release it. Now myself, as a young African-American male, I'm actually appalled and scared of the law, actually, you know what I'm saying? So,
have you encountered this type of police brutality they're talking about?
Not police brutality, but definitely harassment. Definitely I've been pulled over on all types of different occasions and pretty much detained and withheld for hours and hours and hours over nothing, over like a busted headlight. As myself, I'm concerned because the last time I got pulled over by the cops, I was put in the back of the car for no reason at all. You know what I'm saying? I was concerned over my safety. You know what I'm saying? I thought that something was going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Cynicism rocks the vine, in a time where violence locks in summer shine. Lifetimes go by in a flash, in a search for love, in a search for cash. Everybody wanna be some fat tycoon, everybody wanna be on a tropic honeymoon. Nobody wanna sing a little bit out of tune, or be the backbone of a rebel platoon. It's too soon to step out of line, you might get laughed at, you might get primed. But do you fear me when I say, I feel pain every day, when I see the way my friends gotta slay, they never get ahead of bills they gotta pay. No way, no way. Some make a living doing killing, but I'm being penicillin. Some are willing to play the villain, they just chilling. To pass the time, pass the information, or pass the wine. Pass the buck, or pass the baton. But you can't pass the police or the Pentagon. The IRS or the upper echelon. I think it's time to make a move on the congregation. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb, bomb. The truth shall come. Give the corporations a complication. Bomb, bomb. Rock the nation.
Good afternoon, buenas tardes. This is Misha from San Francisco Village Voice, and today we're going to be talking about the case of Julio Ayala, who was assassinated by San Francisco police at the Airport Inn back in April 3rd, and what's happening with this case. We're also going to talk about the infamous case that is being brought against Tyrell Taylor, who was shot 5 times by the police up in Bayview Hunters Point on Northridge last Friday. The kid still has a bullet in his body and went to preliminary trial this morning. And we need to rally our committee big time to save this kid here. And finally, Brenda Appleby, who is a sister who is up and about San Francisco promoting a business, is going to talk about the struggle of black women making it, not just trying to make it, but making it in San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Shall come, give the corporations of complications, bomb bomb, rock the nation, take over television and radio station, bomb bomb, the truth shall come, give the corporations of complications, radio rock the mic. Is the way I'll express my feelings. Bob revealed every ball spinning on a record. Y'all try to compensate, take what I communicate with. It's ancient, gift to the lips, steady creating, activating, passing vocal violations to the blind plus the seeing. Human doesn't mean just being, becoming. Don't believe it, just be life it. Belonging, then beloved. Rehearse it or recite it while shining. Drop your guns, move your tongues out of motivation. No times lyrics come, sometimes from others run. Their mouth are away, my mind's cold beaming like an early sun ray. One day we'll get the picture and all combine. Let's be talking about mind, mind, and become one mind. Every piece of the puzzle has its place to build the beat of the puzzle called the human race. Taking it long enough to crush the formal journalistic. Respected critics put back words to rap words. I'm sure raising my hand with questions and demands. Statements in a plan with the map of the land. Bomb bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb bomb, the truth shall come. Give the corporations of complication. Bomb bomb, rock the nation. Take over television and radio station. Bomb bomb. The truth shall come, give the corporations some complication, yo.
Was of course you know it all, Michael Franti, Rock the Nation. And I hope many of you came to the fifth concert in the park, in Golden Gate Park, last Saturday, of Power to the Peaceful, that has been organized by Franti for the past 5 years. And just want to tell you real quick how I met Franti. 3 months after my son was murdered by SFPD, Idris Telly, at the Metreon Theater on June 13, 2001. The day, the very day of 9/11 that year, several of us organized a protest, a peace march and protest in front of the Oakland City Hall. And one of the organizers, Kimani from Alabama Center, said, "Oh, Franti is here. He want to talk to you." And I thought, cool. You know, I'm an older girl. I didn't know who Franti was. I found out the next day that he had made it big time on Letterman show and didn't need that for to be popular with the people who really count. You know what I'm saying? But now Franti is nationally acclaimed. Him and his buddy, Ben Harper, who made more of a career actually in Europe than out here. And Franti came the next day after 9/11 to my son's candlelight vigil in front of the Metreon in San Francisco. So he's one of my babies in my heart, and I've been following him all along. This first segment, as you know, is La Voz de San Pancho. So gringos, grab your dictionaries or hang in there, and I will translate a little bit after that segment. And today we're talking about the murder of Julio Ayala by South San Francisco PD. Pues sí, Julio Ayala era un muchacho salvadoreño de 27 años que vivía muy cerca de mi casa aquí en San Francisco. Y le mataron 13 placas, hombre, al albergue del aeropuerto de San Francisco. Y parece que eso pasó el 3 de abril de este año. Y parece que el muchacho, por supuesto, estaba haciendo un demasiado ruido en su cuarto, ¿verdad? Del hotel, y el vecino del otro cuarto llamó a la policía, llamó al 911. Cuando vinieron, aparentemente le pusieron en lo que se llama un body wrap, para impedir sus movimientos, pero también aprendimos desde luego que le pusieron presión en el cuello para parar su respiración, para, por supuesto, calmarle. Se sentaron encima de él y también sabemos que le pegaron. Y la versión oficial es que después de 15 minutos el muchacho paró de respirar, que se enteraron apenitas después de 15 minutos que el muchacho ya no respiraba y que hicieron todos los esfuerzos posibles para reanimarle, pero en vano, ¿verdad? Y pues ya sabemos muchísimo más porque un amigo de Julito fue a la funeral y tomó fotografías, pero no podemos compartir estos elementos ahorita para no disminuir la fuerza del caso, ¿verdad? Cuando se va a oír el caso. Y bueno, muy mala sorpresa para la familia, un horror. Hace un mes, después que hicimos una petición en el internet, mi fundación, el Idris Telly Foundation, la fundación de Idris Telly, hizo una petición sobre el internet y también un sitio de web que se llama Justicia para Julio, at yahoogroup.com. Y pues el DA hizo un comunique diciendo que el muchacho murió de intoxicación con cocaína, que tenía traces de cocaína, que tenía, bueno, un poquitín de cocaína en su sistema. Yo puedo decirles, señores y damas, que yo en mis años, todos tenemos esqueletos en el closet, ¿no? Que yo hice cocaína hace muchos años y que para encontrar solo un trace, eso que tuviera que decir que yo lo hice 2 meses antes que me lo encontraron en la sangre. Entonces, si el muchacho, por supuesto, hizo un poco de coca 2 meses después. Eso todavía no justifica, claro, que se lo mataron de una forma tan horrorosa. Entonces, el caso sigue a la familia muy, muy demoralizada, como pueden imaginarlo. Es una familia muy valorosa, que vinieron aquí, que son como yo, alien, ¿no? De la otra planeta, de la verdadera planeta del mundo, que son green card como yo, y tratando muy duro de trabajar y ser discientes, se compraron su casita y viviendo a lo más que pueblo, lo más bonito que pueden, ¿no? Para vivir el sueño americano, como nos dicen, ¿no? Que aquí vamos a cumplir el sueño americano, y de repente, como a mí, se le mataron su hijo, su bello hijo Julio, que él nunca tuvo ningún problema con la ley. Era voluntario con el programa de SLUG, que es un programa de haciendo jardines orgánicos en toda la ciudad. Era un muchacho muy fino, muy bello. Es un horror. Entonces, si quieren enterarse un poco más de las circunstancias y de la acción que estamos haciendo para Julio, pueden mirar en el Google Search, ¿no? En la computadora, pueden mirar debajo de Justice for Julio Ayala o Justicia para Julio Ayala, y van a encontrar el sitio de web que hice para ellos y también la petición. Si quieren saber más acerca del caso, desde que estoy enterada de operar todos estos sitios de web para las familias, también pueden hacer un Google search sobre Idris Telly Foundation, la Fundación Idris Telly, y se escribe IDRISS, y el apellido es STELLEY, Idris Telly Foundation. O me pueden escribir a mi correo, a mi correo electrónico al iolmisha@cs.com. iolmisha@cs.com. Pues, y claro que esto no es un caso aislado, ¿eh? La tragedia que pasó a Julio Ayala también pasó a Ricky Escobedo en Redwood City, a José Cárdenas en San José, a Sheila Amaya en Union City, a Daniel García en San Francisco, y que hay una guerra contra la raza. Más publicado que hay definitivamente una guerra contra los africanos americanos pobres, ¿no? Pero también hay una guerra contra la raza, en tanto de la policía, del sistema correccional. Y nos tenemos que organizar de veras, porque en la cultura lo que pasa mucho es que nos enseñaron a respetar la gente mayor, la gente que tiene más autoridad, la gente que tiene más educación, la gente que está en poder. Pero de una forma es muy bello esto de nuestra cultura, pero el revés de la medalla es que también nos hace poner la confianza en a donde no pertenece. ¿Okay? Y el silencio de nosotros nos mata. Hay que organizarse, hay que tener una voz fuerte diciendo no toque a mi raza, ya no toque a mi raza. No toque a mi raza, ¿ok? Y no estoy hablando fuerte ahora porque de veras me da tanto coraje lo que están pasando estas familias, incluyendo la familia de Lalo Torres en Fresno, Melcor y su bella esposa María, que perdieron su hijo hace 13 años en Madera cuando él estaba arrestado, pateó una ventana adentro del carro de policía sin quebrarla, y la mujer policía salió del carro y le disparó y le mató. Y este muchacho tenía 21 años, boxeador, un muchacho muy fino también. Acabamos de hacer una protesta en Fresno el mes pasado para obtener justicia para Lalo. Y claro que la Corte Federal ya hizo un comunique diciendo no hay caso porque fue solo un mistake, fue un error. Ella quería agarrar el taser y se agarró la pistola, que es absolutamente imposible porque el taser y la pistola no están en la misma posición. Uno es por la pierna, el otro por la cintura. Y entonces, ándale, el silencio mata, nos organizamos. Aquí estamos para servirles, la Edith Stelly Foundation, la Fundación Edith Stelly, para todos vosotros luchando contra la brutalidad de policía.
And how it goes, I think we're dreaming. We're talking season after favor, think we're someone teller. And I have to admit that team is about drinking at the level. Malcolm X is the coach. He's drawing up the strategy. They're chopping up all of America's anatomy, because they are the ones we up against, of course. Our general manager is Chief Crazy Horse. Who ain't new thing, because he was extra hard. He is the one that will be paying out the shooting out of 90 child boxes. We'll be playing for Marcus Garvey. He be throwing the people off his back, making sure they never got a rebound. Throwing through the outlet, not turning, because he could turn the corner when he's out there. He be flying through the air and throwing passes like he really doesn't care. Behind the back and in between the legs, he's standing in the rock just to jimmy his man. He's throwing the end to Angela Davis' neighborhood. She posted up down in the extra hardwood. She grabs a pill, then she puts a shoulder down. Get out the way because she's gonna throw down. Now boom, oh my god, I just can't believe it. Get another backboard, or better yet leave it. We always play for fun, we always play for keeps. The game is over and the losers gotta sweep up the glass. And we bust it in the ass at the record straight now. That America's past. This is my dream team.
Spearheading out of the area. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. And I went on, I feel a dream team. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. And I went on, I feel a dream team. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. And I went on, I feel a dream team.
red, black, green, red, gold, green. That's how we know, I feel what dreams see. Whatever doing that, we be heading for the ceremony. And then the heart is a bunch of baloney. Let's keep it up, let's take the Olympics. Black power people, can I get a witness? Fist in the air, this is the power manners. My Jimi Hendrix is fucking up the spangle banger. Up we do the sky, my famous for the horn. Looking through the bleachers, it's looking at selling popcorn. Now we go, we have a celebration. Shaquille O'Neal will provide the entertainment to some of you. This is a far-fetched game, but to me, I'll tell you what it is, this is my dream team. They're heading out of the area. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. That's how we know, I feel we're dream team. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. That's how we know, I feel we're dream team. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. That's how we know, I feel we're dream team. Red, black, green, red, gold, green. That's how I know, I feel we're dream team. Well, I like to shoot hoops, my brothers. 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 This is my dream team.
Spearheading out of the area.
Spearheading out of the area.
How you feeling? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Heavy medicine, you see my eyes are feeling red again. I'm bringing life like Thomas Funky Edison. Been in the desert for 47 days, purple haze. The poison that I taste and never change, y'all. Turn up the woofer so I can feel the beat vibrating. My belly like a bomb in harmony, summer heat. My back is sticking to me to the sea, bare feet. Tank top and shorts is all you need, bruh. Summer breeze, I'm feeling kind of fine. I'm rolling with my shorty all the time. Wine and grind, lovely shake your behind. Cinnamon skin be bringing sin to my mind. But with the honor, the way this hot, or the way this cool. I'm happening like a blanket with my whole soul. So that she can feel me like Coca-Cola. I'm the world, world, sweet thing. My girl lollipop, she growing mad crops. She rolling herbs every day at about 4 o'clock. Tick-tock, strike the hammer while the iron's hot. Oh girl, what you got cooking in the pot? Say Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? Hydroponic, hook to supersonic, or does it grow naturally slow? Love, ganja babe, my sweet ganja babe. I love the way you love me and the way you misbehave. Ganja babe, my sweet ganja babe. Come make my body out and take my mind away.
I smoke a smoke, smoke a blunt. Maybe a bowl, maybe a paper, what you want. Roll it, make it big, sometimes I make it small. Sometimes it's for me, sometimes for all of y'all. It matters what position I'm in, whether happy or sad. The herb is like mom and dad, the mother and the seed. All you need to know is how it grow. Fertilized by the mind state, and it glows. From the sun that brings the sun and the light. And the water that we're seeing tonight brings the light.
Hey, you all, that was La Voz de San Pancho, which is Raza Alerts. We didn't have any guests today. You know how that goes. I just realized that you got to get on people's back. But, you know, I mean, they're excited about coming on the show, but I need to get on that phone the night before, the morning before. And then again, last week, I had some guests who were not invited who just showed up, which is cool, too. And this is the second segment of our show. That's my Oshla from San Francisco Bayview Interspoint Community Radio, the radio that shut down last year, and my show was No Pigs in the Hood. I guess that's self-explanatory, and it's about environmental racism and law enforcement brutality. And today we're going to be talking about the case of Tyrell Taylor and also a bit about the horrible fate that is awaiting Francis Taylor today, unless we can help it, who is on death row in Texas and is to be executed today at midnight. And also about Tukey Williams, whose case is going back in court again October 3rd as they are trying to push his execution in San Quentin before the end of the year. So let me tell you a little bit about Tyrell. And this is a really frightening story. Last Friday, I was at an event organized by Sharon Hewitt and Maddie Scott from the Peace Zone, in front of City Hall, and it was a Stop the Violence event, with a lot of youth present. I started stuttering because I see those two beautiful sisters who just walked in, and I'm just tickled to death. Malaika Parker, the director of Bay Area Police Watch, with, I assume, two of her beautiful interns. Yeah! That is a great surprise. Anyhow, let me go back to Tyrell for a minute. And at the event, we just started kicking it off, and then one of the sisters got a phone call, and the news are spreading like fire. All over the protest, the rally that went in front of City Hall. Young Tyrell Taylor, who just turned 18, just has been shot 5 times in the back up on North Ridge, very close to Kiska Road in Bayview Hunters Point. And then we hear bits and pieces from other people getting phone calls. And apparently, he's still alive. We don't know for how long he's still alive. We also find out that not only the police was there, that the whole neighborhood was swarming with police, going to people's houses without a warrant to retrieve testimonies that another child had been taken in custody who saw it all, and we were very worried for that child as well. We found out the feds came down. We found out the city helicopter was hovering over the neighborhood. So, fortunately, and it is a miracle, and I bet you it was not meant to be, Tyrell Taylor is still alive. Tyrell is still alive, but he has 5 bullets in his body. Well, actually 4. One bullet went straight to his hand. 3 bullets are still lodged in his back in a straight sequence, and 1 in his neck. And they cannot remove those bullets from his body because doing so would endanger his life. Are you sitting down, y'all? Take a deep breath because it ain't over. You would assume that the kid is in intensive care. The kid was in court this morning for a preliminary hearing, charged as attempting murderer on a police officer. He's being labeled a cop killer. A rifle was not even found at the scene. No gunpowder was found on the child. He's labeled a cop killer. It gets even more intricated than that. Now, I'm the one who needs to take a breath. 3 years ago, some of you might remember the scandal, infamous incident on Martin Luther King Day up on the hill on Kiska Road in Bayview Hunters Point, where 4 children were savagely brutalized by a horde of officers. I believe that they were 20-something. And Sue McAllister's child, 14 years old, was fondled. Her breast was touched inappropriately by an officer, a white male officer, who was laughing. When she tried to intervene, she was told, "Hold back, bitch. One more step, we're going to shoot you," in front of a child. Jerome, who was 14 at the time, wanted to defend his younger cousin, who was 11 years old, and told a cop, "Please stay away from my little cousin." The cop gave him a concussion, broke his jaw, dislocated his shoulder. Jerome, for a couple of years after that, was completely regressed, talking baby talk, addressing his cat better than he would address people. All those kids who were straight up A's in school were regressed, rebelling against their parent, which is, you know, the reaction that we can always understand. Is like the parents became the safe object to their anger. So listen to this. Tyrell Taylor was one of the four children who were brutalized by the police up on Kisco Road 3 years ago. Coincidentally, the case is about to be reviewed before the end of the year by the police commission in San Francisco. How convenient that one of the kids who was brutalized savagely by the police 3 years ago on MLK would become now an evidence that he is a thug, that those children are bad kids, that they are thugs and quote-unquote top killers. That's what's going on. Nothing happened in court this morning. The kid is going back into custody. He just turned 18, so that's why he's not in juvie. He's in adult jail right now, when he should be in the hospital. You hear me? In the hospital. The child with four bullets in his body is back in custody, terrified. His family is terrified. And the next court date will be on the 21st of September, Room 201, Department 9. And we expect to have a lot of people in front of that building, in front of the Hall of Injustice, that morning before the court. This is not time to stay silent, you all. You know how much the silence has been killing us. As I was telling a friend 2 days ago, I mean, the snake has been rattling for a while, but now it's striking full force from New Orleans to the street to San Quentin. The name of the game is Kill for Being Black, Brown, and Poor. And that's the truth. So, now that I unloaded my heart a bit, thank you for letting me dump on you all. I'm going to pass the mic on to Malaika, who's going to introduce her staff. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming today. Let me make sure that I set you up with that mic. Should be this one. No, that's the phone. I'm fumbling here. You know, I'm kind of a 19th century girl and older at that, so bear with me for a minute here.
Hello?
Go for it.
Hi, this is Malaika Parker from Bay Area Police Watch, and today with me is Dawn Edwards and Shannon Rice, who are both working with Bay Area Police Watch this summer.
I think we're having a little problem with the mic here. So we're gonna be switching seats. Hang on.
It wasn't.
Okay, the man is here. Mark is the bomb. He's hooking us up.
Go ahead.
Here go, Malaika.
Hello. Okay, so this is Malaika Parker from Bay Area Police Watch, and with me today is Dawn Edwards and Shannon Rice, who are both working with us this semester.
Cool. So when did you find out about Tyrell, Malaika?
I actually have heard a couple of bits and pieces over the past few days, but this, just hearing you now, was the most kind of comprehensive story that I've heard of it.
Up.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's definitely a correlation. Here.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's still some questions that I have that I think we need to look into, but just the relation between this latest incident and the MLK Day incident, which was when the young people
and
were abused by
the
police.
Logistics right. The critical logistics.
Right.
Of it.
Right. That's kind of frightening. And we know that there's a history with San Francisco police and right. Bayview and how they're treating young people.
Also, the Bayview precinct right now doesn't have clear directions. Not that they have been.
Not that they ever have.
Captain Bruce is retiring. Interestingly, he is going to work for Habitat for Humanity. He's going to be constructing houses for the homeless, which
wow.
I think is very commendable. But at the same time, let's remember that he committed major voting fraud
mm-hmm.
3 years ago. So he pretty much shot himself in the foot when it comes to a political career.
Yeah.
So now, him embracing, hey, Essie, I got all my beautiful peep here today. I am such a blessed woman, I swear. Let's remember that Bruce cannot make a political career, so he's embracing an altruistic career now, and we're all redeemable, bless his little heart, and we wish him the very best.
Yes, we do. Yeah, hopefully he'll make up for some of the things that have happened in Bayview. Right. Not that that ever can be, but I'm glad to see that there might be some good that comes out of that.
I actually have way more elements on the case that I found out from some people up on that hill. But right now we're being careful because the case is going to be scrutinized. We're working very closely with Jeff Adachi from the Public Defender's Office right now. And we are not going to release the particular that we heard from some of the witnesses, not to possibly negatively impact
his case. Because, yeah, in San Francisco, there was a real, once you say cop killer, it's all over for people. We saw the same thing that happened with the Isaac Espinosa case before that young man even went to trial. He was already a cop killer and there was already rallies about him, and so it's important to protect him.
And let's not fool ourselves. I mean, Kamala Harris was vastly acclaimed for not recommending the death penalty against David Hill, who allegedly killed Officer Espinosa. However, the death penalty has never been enforced in San Francisco since it was reinstated in 1978.
Right.
So, I mean, that was a very safe, demagogical move on her part to increase her popularity. So I don't know about you, Maleka, but I'm not impressed.
Well, I mean, also she was elected on that platform. So most of the people in San Francisco support not going for the death penalty. So it's like you're saying, like, it's not that huge of a move to say that. It's just that to say it publicly, that means that the police come down on you. So to take on the police union is a huge thing to do, but just to say you're against the death penalty is not that huge of a thing to do in a place like San Francisco when she was already elected for that.
Let's also remember that she's straight legacy from Willie Brown.
Right.
I mean, I didn't want to gossip, so you didn't hear it from me. But, I mean, she is his ex-woman, right?
I will not comment
on that. I'm saying it. And as far as I'm concerned, Kamala comes from the race card, and that's how she got elected here in San Francisco. 92% of my peeps in Bayview Hunters Point voted for her because she's a black woman. But when you look at her politics, you look at the financial sources that are supporting her, we're talking the class card much more than the race card. But we'll see. Like I say, everybody's redeemable.
Right.
It looks like we're going to have to put a lot of pressure on Harris right now around what's going on in terms of the sweeping, the rampant criminalization of poor people of color in San Francisco. It's got to stop.
And the question for her is, what is she going to do to protect people that look like her in San Francisco?
Thank you.
You know, because it's not enough to just talk about it. You actually have to do stuff. And you she has to continue to go up against the police department not allow them to do sweeps in Bayview.
She walks throughout the mission with Newsom, with Gruesome Newsom, saying, talking to people on the street, you know, being very congenial and say, so how do you feel about how safe you are from gangs here? First of all, the introduction is extremely slanted and is prompted a certain angle of response.
Right.
I want to see her in the Tenderloin, in Lakeview, in Bayview, in the Mission, saying, how do you feel about the police harassing and killing your people right now?
Right. As well as the police commission should be doing the same thing.
That's right. And, you know, I mean, some of the peeps in this city, you know, I always have to go for Malika. She know me. She know me for a long time. A lot of those folks right now, I need, please prove myself wrong. I feel even some of the people who are green, like Ross Mercurini, I think that he's turning a little caca green, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? Because it looks like he's definitely making a move to the right of the green. And see, I'm just concerned about what's happening to our Green Party. Where is the People of Color Caucus in the Green Party? Hey, Richard Marquez, Charlie Smythe, Ana Maria Loya, Cristina, René, what's up with that? Thank you. Tell me a little bit about those ladies that you brought today.
Why don't we let them see for themselves?
Yes! One said no. Don't be afraid, girlfriend. Okay. Don't be scary. This is community radio. As long as we don't say any F or B words, they will bump us off the air. But we can be real here. It's all right.
Okay. Well, can everyone hear me? I'm Dawn, and I just started working over the summer for Bay Area Police Watch. So I've been quickly introduced to just the monstrosities of the police department, both San Francisco and Oakland. Particularly San Francisco, though, because I wasn't too aware of San Francisco having grown up in Oakland. So I'm quickly finding out. I had the opportunity to speak in front of the police commission involving Cameron Boyd and Sheila D. Toy, the two hearings that have again been postponed. This is probably the second time, and this
Cameron
is just...
Boyd's hearing is coming up next week, correct? I thought it was announced for the 21st.
It might be. All right. You're probably right. I don't have it written down. So this is new to me, unfortunately. No one should have to go through this, but it's a great experience for me to have been able to just speak on behalf of those two. And this is new work for me. I'm enjoying it.
Tell me, how does what you're learning right now to Alabama Center, to Bay Area Police Watch impacts you as a young black woman in America nowadays?
Well, I have two boys, so that was what really compelled me, listening to Marilyn Boyd speak, just knowing that my two boys could be victims one day, and then there would be no one to be held accountable. So that's what truly drives me.
How old are your babies?
5 and 7.
Mm.
So that's what drives me. And just the fact that we need more people of color speaking out, I don't think people feel a sense of responsibility anymore. So I think we all need to find some area that we can still do something.
Hello?
That's also what drove me to go to law school. We're impacted so much. Our civil rights are violated every day in ways that we have no idea. So,
Shannon, do you want to introduce yourself? Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're coming from and how you feel about your work at Police Watch?
Hi, my name's Shannon. I've been working with Bay Area Police Watch this summer. And my experience working at Bay Area Police Watch has been pretty difficult because one of the things I've been dealing with is that there are so few organizations doing stuff around police misconduct that it's really hard to hear so many stories and know that there's not that much out there for people to get help. So I've enjoyed my experience working here, and
all right, Shannon.
Thanks.
See, you got over that shyness. You go, girl. And Malika actually has an announcement about Cameron Boyd's case.
So when the Tyrell Taylor stuff started happening, we checked in with the police commission to see the status on a hearing for the Martin Luther King Day incident to make sure that the officers that were responsible for abusing those young people were taken off of the streets. And some folks know that it was the previous police commission decided they wanted to discipline the officers, and then the police officers' attorneys challenged it in court, and so it's been tied up in court. And it was the police commission decided it's been tied up in court for about almost a year now, and there's going to be a hearing on it, and I will get the information to Misha so that she can announce when it is. But it's coming up within the next week or 2 weeks, so folks should be paying attention to that and call the police commission and ask them when the hearing is, and they'll give you all the information.
Those cops actually made history on that day, on MLK Day, 2002?
I think so.
When Sue McAllister asked them, and somebody, it's a very tight-knit neighborhood on Kisco Road. Everybody know each other, watch out for each other. So one of the brothers turned out his tape recorder. You know what I'm saying? as soon as it started happening, and Sue, in tears, seeing her baby fondle in front of her, being threatened to be shot if she tried to intervene, say, "Why? Why are you doing this?" And this cracker, excuse me, says, for international fame, pre-civil rights movement words, "As long as you people are here, we're going to continue doing this." It's on tape, you all. How can you debate their guilt beyond any kind of belief when they dare tell in people's face, "As long as you people are here, we're going to continue doing this"? A year later, up on West Point and Middle Point, children were attacked by two police officers with, it was kind of funny, well, retrospectively it's funny because the license plate started with KKK. Excuse me. So, well, that is our first tongue-in-cheek move before we could do anything else was to call Captain Bruce and say, "You're going to remove that damn plaque from your department. Otherwise, we're really going to go to town on you." And he makes sure that this plaque disappeared. And those two officers have been reassigned. You know the game. You know the game. Either they get reassigned to another district or they get promoted. Like Greg Sir, who was promoted after his boys killed Danny Garcia on Cesar Chavez and South Van Ness. Anyhow, they got displaced. But on that day also, the same kind of wording came. When a parent tried to defend a child, mind you, they cracked down on those kids saying that there was a barbecue and they were wearing a family T-shirt, you know, with a white T-shirt with the commemoration words for the barbecue. And they said that those were gang T-shirts. And they started hitting a child who was 7 years old. And when the mother, Tessie, was asked, said, you know, "Please lay your hands off my child," she went, "Oh, bitch, back up." Okay? It's like, and it's total impunity. Since 2001, the authorities are so glorified that no matter what they're going to do, unless we make a lot of noise and we won't give up, nothing is going to happen to them. Ah, when we come back, we're going to have some final words of encouragement and power from Malaika, Shannon, and Don, and I'll have the great privilege to introduce you to my beautiful sister. We go way back. Essie, cancer survivor and activist in our community. No pigs in the hood. Yeah.
Anybody,
Malaika, Don, do you have any other announcements?
We just want to let people know that there's a lot of stuff that's in the works. I know that this police brutality stuff can feel really hard and difficult to deal with, but there are a lot of things that you can do. Misha was talking about standing up and supporting Tyrell Taylor at his court date. Folks should find out information about that and show up. There's also a support group that Idris Deli Foundation and Bay Area Police Watch are working on putting together. And you can get in contact with Misha about that. And there's also a police brutality network that's organizing trainings. And you can get in contact with Idris Deli Foundation or Bay Area Police Watch about that. And then there's just some other things that are going on. But just want to let people know that there are things that you can do. You can go to the police commission and you can demand that your streets are safe from police that are killing us and abusing us and even leading to people being on the death penalty illegally. So with that, I'm going to give it over to Don to talk about two cases that are coming up.
Well, first, I would like to mention that Bay Area Police Watch has legal clinics that we provide resources for people that have had any incidents with police misconduct. And our next one will be October 6th.
What's the address?
It's 344 40th Street. And
how close is it to BART?
It's a few blocks from MacArthur BART station.
Okay.
And so 5:30 to 7:30. And you can come, you can have your story heard, and if there's anything we can do, we will provide as many resources as possible.
You guys have a crisis line?
We don't have a crisis line any longer, but people can call 510-428-3939, extension 224, and get resources sent to them. We unfortunately can't. We don't have a crisis line anymore, even though we've done that for years. We've replaced it with a clinic instead, and that gives people actually a better opportunity to talk to people in person.
We have a crisis line, actually. That was off for a while. ISF is operated totally out of pocket, and when my mama is broke, everybody's broke at the Idris Deli Foundation. I just got a new cell phone, which is our 24-hour bilingual crisis line. And so, of course, we work in close collaboration with the Ella Baker Center. And our work is primarily here to provide immediate support to families and victims of law enforcement brutality. And we work in close collaboration with Ella Baker Center when it comes to the protests and the legal work and the information that can be given to clients. I mean consumers of our system. I hate the word client. I'm happy to say I just got state of the art here. I got a camera. I got a video, okay? So we're going to be doing some serious cop watching up on the hill and be vigilant at this point.
And we just also wanted for people to keep Frances Taylor in their hearts today and to give a call to the governor of Texas because she is facing being executed this evening and she is the first black
crime she did not commit.
For a crime she did not commit.
Allegedly killing her husband when there is ample evidence that she was not the murderer.
And, you know, this is one of the ways that police brutality makes its way through the system and racism and all of those horrible things. And so it's really important that people make an effort to try and save her life.
By the way, I don't know if you're listening live, but the shows are being archived permanently. So if you ever want to hear again Malaika and her staff, you can log on to Enemy Combatant Radio and look into RIP, which is the recording. And then if you then click on today's date and noon, which is 9:14:05 at noon, then that will take you straight to the show forever and ever. Thank you so much, Malaika, Don, and Shannon. I am so thrilled to work with you guys. And, you know, for all the people like me, it's just so incredible to be able to pass the banner and know that it's not all in vain, that my baby didn't die in vain, Aaron Williams didn't die in vain, Cameron Boyd. Interestingly enough, I don't know if I ever shared that with you, I got a letter from Santa Rita from a guy called Corleone, who was a gang leader in the Fillmore. They call him Schlapp also. And he had been shot 35 times at and survived. The cops pursued him across the bridge to Oakland out of their jurisdiction to kill him, and he survived it. But guess what? He has a prosthetic leg. And there is a witness from the day that Cameron was killed, there were plenty of witnesses at the scene, who heard one of the cops tell the other, "Shit, that ain't Schlapp." And I have sent this letter to Mrs. Boyd, which means that there is a possibility. At first I was looking at, you know, when you at work for an agency, you get a lot of people who have, like, grandiose delusion within the paranoid system that write to you, and they got chips implanted in their brain to make them eat certain food, and the TV is watching them, right? But this letter was not of the kind at all. It really is frightening. Anyhow, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And I hope this is not the last time. Keep coming back, eh?
Bye, Misha.
Bye, Malaika. We see each other tomorrow, right? Because we got to go to work. We got to get busy. All right.
When you're alone, sometimes your guitar might play something.
Stars shine bright, dark on the stars. Oh, stars shine bright, dark on the stars.